You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really happy to have with me once again Chen Lin. Chen is the author of What is Chen Buying? What is Chen Selling? And you can subscribe to his excellent newsletter, his money-making newsletter, I should say, at chenpicks.com. Welcome, Chen, and thanks for joining me again.
Thank you, Jay. Glad to be here.
Always good to have you with me, Chen, for your ideas, because they are unique, they are yours, and, you know, it's I think it's the original thinking process that provides so much value for your subscribers. Before we go get into this today, I would like to ask you just your comments on the employment numbers this morning. Quite shocking. I think quite lower than expected. 235,000, I think, non-farm payroll numbers. And I know Bloomberg was looking for 733,000, so that's just about a third of what they were looking for. What are your thoughts about today's numbers, and were you surprised?
Oh, I was a little bit surprised, but you know, there's a talk. I subscribe to other also newsletter. We exchange actually idea with other newsletter, right? That people are very specialized on that. It seems to be that there's a lot of education job. 200,000 was not, you know, was pushed back. There is not that bad, but it's bad. This is pretty bad. But it shows, you know, the Delta variants actually probably threaten a lot of industry like the travel and leisure. There's very little job gains from that area versus huge job gain. Actually, they revised up last month. It's over 1 million, actually. Mm-hmm. So actually, that make the next month's job data very interesting because we have the unemployment benefit cutoff, right? Cutoff in a few days, we won't have, you know, unemployment people won't get the extra benefit anymore.
Right.
So they have to start looking for jobs.
Uh-huh.
So that actually makes September job number very interesting to see if there's how many job gains, you know, if any. And second, it's probably will put the Fed on hold for September. There's so much talk that the Fed wants to start tapering, make an announcement at least in September. I think this is a done deal, right? Mm-hmm. So they won't do anything. They probably just, oh, we will see, you know, they will just use that excuse. They will see it maybe in November, right? What's the next Fed meeting? Mm-hmm. And then that makes the, we have a two job numbers, right? We have a September and October job number.
Right.
So they can potentially look back and decide whether they're going to taper. That actually push back the schedule probably to early next year. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that's probably earliest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no doubt that this this COVID variance is causing people not to travel as much. I was just over the lunch hour today was listening to them say that people are hitting the roads. They're driving more now and flying less. So I think people are just not really wanting to get on an airplane still to a great extent. Well, tapering is a big question in my mind, Chen. You know, I have this sort of notion that tapering is more talk than action. That we saw when they tried to taper during Bernanke's days, yet it didn't go so well. Interest rates go up just a little bit, and all of a sudden the equity markets start to tumble. But do you think, how seriously do you take tapering? And why would they want to do it? Because, you know, doesn't everybody want to have the party continue?
Yeah, everybody wants to have a party, especially the Powell is for the re-election next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he will try to make this as smooth as possible. So he should try to delay it as long as he could. But right now you see the overnight repo is unbelievable. There's so much cash in the bank. They've got no place to put. There's no use. Right now the mortgage application started to drop as a the mortgage, right, the loans availability start to drop because their housing so expensive, people just
yes
and not buying so much. So the fact they keep on buying at such aggressive pace, it creates another problem. What I feel is Powell, he probably would try to, you know, taper a little bit, and then get to his re-election, and then we'll see.
I think
that they probably can do $10 billion, you know, reduce by $10 billion, and then the slow pace, and then see if there are any problem, right? And then very on a very slow pace.
Yeah. So they'll buy $10 billion less of treasuries or mortgage-backed securities or whatever that is the Fed buys. And that's against what are they buying now, Chen? How much are they spending now?
If I remember correctly, $60 billion. It's a very, very large amount number.
Right.
They just push so much money into the banks. They're, you know, flooded with cash. They have to go overnight repo. And we know that it could create another problem. So I think for Powell, after watching him in the past years, he probably just trying to take it as timid step as possible, as a little step, but don't take any risk and get reelected first.
he wants another term at the Fed, and there are some people, especially AOC and those on the more far left of the Democrat Party, they would like somebody, I guess, a little more aggressive than Powell. But Powell is trying to do everything, it seems, to stay in power. So we'll see how that goes. But taper. I mean, it's just crazy too with interest rates, Chen. Banks don't really have any incentive to lend. I mean, they can't get enough interest rate. They can't get enough interest to cover their losses. Essentially, with they can't charge anything essentially. So it's
exactly, and then they're sitting on so much cash, they have nowhere to put, and that's the problem. You know, it's not that like they don't have enough money.
Well, it's certainly, it's certainly here as we're recording this on Friday for our show on Tuesday. I should mention that. It certainly has given gold a boost today. Gold is up, $22 or so as we're speaking.
Exactly. Go back to the critical 1830 area. They went to hit through 1850. I knew for a fact a lot of people were shorting gold ahead of the labor market number. Top number, and now they got flat-footed. See if they have cover or not. I think that we have a very decent chance gold will penetrate through 1850. That's when the short will force to cover. Actually, we can have another rally, but that will be very, very nice. Starting September, we'll have a rally.
So what do you see the, with inflation numbers rising dramatically, are you concerned about inflation, Chen, or do you think that's going to run its course here? I mean, a lot of people, there's certainly both sides of that argument. A lot of people are saying, well, you know, the economy's not nearly as strong as they thought it was. We could have an equity market decline here. There could be a lot of factors that could, temper the inflation rate or, make it temporary.
Right now the household balance sheet is probably the best because of all these stimulus, right?
Yeah.
The stimulus check, there's a lot of money in household. It's a transfer from government to people. There's talk, depending on Democratic, there depending on election next year, right? Depending on if Democrat can keep the control. If do, they may transfer more wealth to the general public. That can be very inflationary, right? Because right now I heard people are showing me, people when they buy new cars in California, they were just 10,000 over sticker now because there are so little cars available because of the chip shortage. And then all the people with all the money want to buy a new car. So
that could be an inflationary effect. We're combining shortages and supply chain disruptions all around the world that are causing prices that are playing a role in it, rising prices, along with this enormous amount of money that's pumped into the system. But Chen, I know you pay a lot of attention to China. You know people in China. You talk to people there. What are your thoughts about China and how they fit into this whole equation? And I know with regard to gold, you always think China might have a role to play in that as well. But what are your thoughts about China now in general?
Yeah, China right now, they could be heading into slowdown, and there could be significant slowdown. Part of it, the Chinese government recently just started to really hammer those big business. They want the wealth transfer. They want the social equality, a little bit like AOC, but it's 10 times more. Okay, so they want, basically they want wealth transfer from the big company to the little guy. So they want the social justice, they want all the other. But with those kind of changes, a lot of times they create uncertainty for the company, for the business.
Sure.
So I think I hard to imagine all these CEO in China got concerned. Okay, so I think the growth in China for next year is cloudy at most. Okay, so and could add into significant slowdown. But again, if China had into slowdown, Chinese government, the first thing they do, they were just infrastructure spending. They just build all these railroad and maybe empty apartment, maybe all the whatever. They just build the way out. That's the typical. But I don't know if they, you know, the things I see, I mean, of course, I have to watch carefully for the next few months. It could, China could head into some significant slowdown when, you know, when we have rebalanced the COVID, a little bit more under control, the country like India and Vietnam, they start to, can start manufacture, you know, China could be in little trouble next year.
Interesting. Well, I would think if China slows down significantly, that has to have an impact on a lot of commodity prices and other things as well, though, Chen, in the short term anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I have concern with energy, with oil, even copper, 50% copper consumption in China, you know. So it, despite all the green thing, all these electric cars, Goldman said the demand were going up. But if China really slowed down, the base metal could be, could have some trouble.
Right. Chen, I can't let you go before I ask you about biotechs because you are the biotech king as far as I know. What are you seeing in biotechs now? I know you've mentioned it's been pretty bad a good part of this year so far. Recently, you felt that maybe the biotechs are turning around. What are your thoughts now about that sector?
Yeah, so biotech is one of the worst hit. Actually, people were saying, oh, airline, cruise line were hit worse by the COVID. No, it's biotech was hit most by COVID. Why? Because they multiple fold. COVID prevented the trial because they have all these trials going on. Suddenly, the hospital, they have a COVID patient. And then suddenly all the people participating in the trial, they don't want to go to hospital anymore. So there are so many companies, the trial got delayed for a year. Very common. Trial COVID also stopped the new drug from reaching to consumer because simply because the people don't go to a hospital anymore. They just remote talk to their doctor. Doctor just gave them the old drug, right? The new drug, you have to marketing it. You have to tell the doctor. You have to show them. You have to, those virtual marketing so far has been disaster for those new drugs. So all these things together combined with this patent talk, you know, Biden administration, didn't help. Okay, so biotech is having one of the worst year in decades. I think it's good for investors. Keep an eye on, big price, right? Big drug innovation, and that's it can have a very significant 2022. So that's what I'm looking at. And you know, we talked about Tricida. I mentioned a few, also quite a few I have, and I'm start accumulating from now to the end of the year. I do not know whether tax loss selling will create better opportunity or not. I don't, but I start to accumulate the position here.
Yeah, you mentioned Tricida on this show a couple of weeks ago, and a very interesting company. They are going forward with their trials, I believe. They're, a drug for kidney.
Oh, actually going better than expected if you listen to their conference. Because their drug is for those chronic kidney disease, dialysis, so all the patients have no way to go. So that's actually, the trial has no interruption. The stock was down 90%. Good for us, right?
Yeah, so, it certainly is. It's down today on Friday as we speak a bit, but Tricida.
Very low volume. If you look at the volume today, volume is so low.
Yeah.
So far, I look at the volume, 60,000.
Yeah, very low.
Like down 5%.
Yeah,
so,
very low.
I mean, if you look at Steve Cohen bought more than 2 million last quarter. Steve, that takes a lot of effort to buy 2 million shares because so little share up.
TCDA is a symbol, trades on the NASDAQ. And You still like Amorous, too, for the long run?
Oh, yeah, I like Amorous. Amorous got the highest hit R today as well. All these small biotech, I think maybe some sell-off before the Labor Day weekend or something. So, it's been very hard today.
All right, Chad. Well,
had a very good few weeks. In the past 3 weeks, I've been very good, except today. Yeah.
I guess we should just mention that you're going to be at the Metals Investor Forum. It's going to be a virtual event. It was supposed to be in Vancouver, but because of the COVID setbacks here, it's going to be a virtual event. So how can people hear you and the companies that you're going to be taking there? You've got American Pacific, Kodiak Copper, Guanajuato Silver, Lakewood Exploration, and Firefox Gold are the ones that I see here listed for. Some of those are followed in my newsletter, and one, Firefox Gold, is a sponsor to this radio show. But how can people be sure to listen to that, Chan? They can view it virtually.
Yeah, they can register for free at the Metals Investment Forum, the website, and you can also ask questions during the presentation. So if you have any question for this management, you can ask right at the presentation. So it's on the 17th of this month, two weeks from here.
Exactly, 2 weeks. Well, we'll look forward to that, Chan. Thanks again for being with us. We are out of time. We'll want to do it again sometime real soon. Get an update on some of these exciting stories that you cover for your subscribers. It's chenpix.com, folks, if you want to sign up for Chen's letter. Chen, thank you for being with us again. All right, folks, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away. Frank Holmes will be with me to talk about gold, cryptocurrencies, the airline industry, and a whole lot of other things as much as we have time for with Frank Holmes. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
Labrador Gold is an exploration company focused on its flagship Kingsway project, located in central Newfoundland Gold District. Labrador Gold's first phase drilling program has successfully identified high-grade gold mineralization, including a 3.6-meter intercept, grading 20.6 grams per ton gold, and 1.85 meters, grading 50.38 gram per ton gold. The company has approximately $35 million in the treasury and is led by a world-class team of CEO Roger Moss and technical advisors Sean Ryan and Quentin Henney.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.